Viewpoint on Mormonism, the program that examines the teachings of The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints from a biblical perspective. Viewpoint on Mormonism is sponsored by Mormonism Research Ministry. Since 1979, Mormonism Research Ministry has been dedicated to equipping the body of Christ with answers regarding the Christian faith in a manner that expresses gentleness and respect. And now, your host for today's Viewpoint on Mormonism.
Welcome to this edition of Viewpoint on Mormonism. I'm your host, Bill McKeever, founder and director of Mormonism Research Ministry. With me today is Eric Johnson, my colleague at MRM. We are continuing our look at a series of manuals that first came out in 1997 with a Brigham Young manual titled Teachings of Presidents of the Church, Brigham Young. And they followed that pattern for the titles all the way through to where the most recent manual that is being studied right now is The Teachings of Presidents of the Church, Lorenzo Snow. In 2014, Mormons will be looking at a new manual, Teachings of Presidents of the Church, Joseph Fielding Smith. We've already gone through that book, and we've already found some very fascinating tidbits of information there. One of the reasons that we're doing this is we're trying to help Christians better understand what Mormons believe, naturally. And one of the best ways to find out what The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints actually wants its people to believe is by looking at the manuals. You go to the manuals that have been, as we've used this word, correlated, or have been vetted or approved by the leadership of the church. And the manuals are an excellent resource, whether they're a part of this series or some other manual that the Mormon Church has put out for students. Those are good sources if you want to know what Mormonism actually teaches. You won't always get that when you read books from BYU professors and people like that, but you will get a good understanding of what Mormonism is all about by reading the manuals. And one reason why we like the manuals, too, is because they're relatively simple in how they explain a lot of these teachings. These are not written as what we would consider in Christian circles as a seminary text. They are not written in a scholarly way. Mormon leaders normally don't talk in a scholarly way. They usually talk very simply. And so by going to these manuals, you can get a better understanding of Mormonism. Now, let's go on in your study, Eric, because you've read all of the teachings of presidents of the church manuals that are available today. And you were talking in our past broadcasts about some of the interesting topics that you found are mentioned in a lot of them. So
yes.
Let's talk about that.
Chapters that were dedicated to certain topics. And yesterday I went through 21 to 40 as far as the most mentions. And I want to get to the top 20 list. But numbers 11 through 20 today. And let's talk about that. And I want to give you some quotes from the manuals. At number 20 would be God being mentioned. And that might
surprise. Way down on at number 20 is God.
Number 20. And that's talking about God the Father specifically. Now, there are chapters about Jesus as well. And we'll talk about that a little later in the Holy Ghost. But as far as God the Father, his nature. Now, I mean, we've seen the last 2 years, the manuals for George Albert Smith and Lorenzo Snow. They included the couplet made famous by Lorenzo Snow, as man is, God once was, as God is, man may be. And some people are saying they're no longer teaching that. But in the past 2 years of these manuals, they list it specifically and talk about the idea that God was once a man.
And I think that needs to be brought out, that whenever we hear anybody say, well, this is no longer a teaching in the Mormon church, but yet we find it being emphasized in their manuals, whoever's making that kind of a comment obviously is not doing their homework. They're not cutting edge. They're way behind the times. And one way that you can keep up with what's going on in Mormonism is by looking at these particular books.
Another one that was in the between 11 and 20 would be neighbors, and that's being kind to neighbors, treating them like yourself. And so the idea of evangelism can be done that way through being kind to other people. And if you live in Utah and you have a lot of LDS neighbors, most likely you've had them come over and bring bread or be very inviting. And so they're encouraging that. They also have an emphasis on the topic of service. That's serving one another and the community. And Mormons are very big on that idea of service.
Would that include also service to the church?
Yeah, service okay. And to each other and taking care of one another as well, but also to the community. They did emphasize that as well. Another topic was eternal life and exaltation. Now, this specifically is dealing with the idea of attaining immortality and godhood. And I have a few quotes I want to share from the newest manual that's going to be used next year, Joseph Fielding Smith. This is from page 68 of that manual. He said, "Those who receive the exaltation in the celestial kingdom will have the continuation of the seeds forever. They will live in the family relationship. We are taught in the gospel of Jesus Christ that the family organization will be, so far as celestial exaltation is concerned, one that is complete, an organization linked from father and mother and children of one generation to the father and mother and children of the next generation, and thus expanding and spreading out down to the end of time."
Basically, what Joseph Fielding Smith is talking about there is the doctrine of eternal increase. And Joseph, this is not, I don't know if this is in any particular of those manuals, but in the teachings of Prophet Joseph Smith, pages 300 to 301, "Except a man and his wife enter into an everlasting covenant and be married for eternity while in this probation, by the power and authority of the Holy Priesthood, they shall cease to increase." There's that phrase, eternal increase. Mm-hmm. "They shall cease to increase when they die." That is, they will not have any children after the resurrection. And so that is a very real doctrine in the Mormon church today, that they do hope to procreate throughout eternity if they are able to achieve that position of exaltation.
And one of the next ones that I want to talk about is that very issue of marriage. You're talking about eternal increase, but marriage must take place. And John Taylor, in his manual, or the manual that was dedicated to him on page 193, he said, "Our marriage relations, for instance, are eternal. Go to the sects of the day, and you will find that time ends their marriage covenants. They have no idea of continuing their relations hereafter. They do not believe in anything of the kind. It is true that there is a kind of natural principle in men that leads them to hope that it may be so, but they know nothing about it. Our religion binds men and women for time and eternity. This is the religion that Jesus taught. It has the power to bind on earth and to bind in heaven, and it had power to loose on earth and to loose in heaven." See Matthew 16:19.
Now, we need to mention that that passage in Matthew is not specifically talking about marriage.
Right.
The Mormons have taken that passage and they've put marriage into that package. But Jesus was not specifically addressing that subject at all. So it's very questionable when they try to make that kind of a connection.
Yeah. He goes on and says, "We believe in the same principles, and we expect in the resurrection that we shall associate with our wives and have our children sealed to us by the power of the Holy Priesthood, that they may be united with us worlds without end." Again, that was John Taylor, page 193 of the manual dedicated to him. Now, sometimes you're reading these manuals and you'll come across quotes that just make you laugh. And this one from Lorenzo Snow, this is this year's manual on page 131. It was covered a few months ago in the churches, but listen to what this says from Lorenzo Snow. "Wives, be faithful to your husbands. I know you have to put up with many unpleasant things, and your husbands have to put up with some things as well. Doubtless you are sometimes tried by your husbands on account, perhaps, of the ignorance of your husbands, or perchance at times because of your own ignorance. I do not say but that your husbands are bad, just as bad as you are, and probably some of them are worse."
That is kind of funny.
"But never mind. Try to endure the unpleasantness which arises at times, and when you meet each other in the next life, you will feel glad that you put up with these things." When I read that, I'm thinking, this is who you want to spend eternity with, to be able to create families forever? And he's acknowledging, I mean, we all do. He's right. We have issues with our spouse that sometimes there's an unpleasantness about it, but there it is in the manual.
Now, unfortunately, since we don't have recordings of that that particular speech, we don't know his voice inflection on that, but it makes me wonder, what if some of the problems that some of these spouses are putting up with are sinful problems?
Yeah.
If they're sinful problems and that's not taken care of by the Latter-day Saint in this mortal probation, they won't be with them in the next life. And that doesn't seem to be emphasized in that little quote right there.
Here's another one. We talked last week about dating. Is it okay to date a Latter-day Saint? This is what Harold B. Lee says in the manual dedicated to him on page 115. "Some of you may decide to marry out of the church with the secret hope of converting your companions to your religious views. Your chances for happiness in your married life are far greater if you make that conversion before marriage." So I guess if you're going to date, get them converted first before you go and get married, which You know, I don't like the way that he said that because I don't believe in missionary dating for Christians. And it sounds almost like that's advocating get them converted and then get them married. And Spencer Kimball talked about the importance of getting married. Page 195 of his manual, delayed marriage is not fully acceptable. All normal people should plan their lives to include a proper temple marriage in the early life and to multiply and have their families in the years of their early maturity.
So you're abnormal in Mormonism if you don't do that.
Other topics that are talked about between 11 and 21 would be missionaries going on a mission, as well as the members helping everyday missionaries, how they can assist in that whole program. Gospel, issues related to the LDS gospel message. Scriptures, why the standard works, the Bible, the Book of Mormon, the Doctrine and Covenants, and the Pearl of Great Price, why those are so important. And one other that I want to finish out the show is presidents and prophets, very important to this church. Joseph F. Smith, in the manual dedicated to him on page 222, said, honor and praise be unto the president of the church, that instrument in the hands of God of establishing order in the midst of uncertainty and certain rules by which we know our bearings. And he also said the
I stop you there?
Yeah, go ahead.
Say that again. Honor and
praise be unto the president of the church, that instrument in the hands of God of establishing order in the midst of uncertainty and certain rules by which we know our bearings.
I cannot even imagine that kind of accolade being given to a leader in some kind of evangelical organization.
Well, they have a praise to the man for Joseph Smith, so
know,
why not praise to the
that,
prophets?
But you see, it seems to neglect the fact that we are all fallen people and apt to make mistakes and say things that are wrong. And when you give those kind of praises, and that's the word they use, to an individual, that's kind of disconcerting to me.
Eighth President George Albert Smith said this, we have had misguided souls in the church who have in their ignorance opposed the advice of the president of the church, not sensing the fact that they were opposing the Lord, and they have fallen into darkness and sorrow, and unless they repent, they will not find a place in the celestial kingdom. Let us remember that the president of the church has been officially designated as the pilot of the church here in mortality to represent the master of heaven and earth. And that's page 116 of George Albert Smith's manual.
So they equated the teachings of the living prophet with the Lord. It can't be overlooked. It's in their manuals. We'll talk about more of this tomorrow.
Thank you for listening. If you would like more information regarding Mormonism Research Ministry, we encourage you to visit our website at www.mrm.org, where you can request our free newsletter, Mormonism Researched. We hope you will join us again as we look at another viewpoint on Mormonism. Have you ever wanted to understand some of the basic beliefs of your Mormon neighbors but didn't really know where to begin? Well, starting at 9 in the morning on Saturday, November 9th, Mormonism Research Ministries' Bill McKeever and Eric Johnson will be presenting a Compassionate Boldness Symposium at Provo Baptist Church, located in the downtown Provo area. Together, we will examine the Mormon view of the Bible, the Book of Mormon, the Godhead, salvation, with special emphasis on how to effectively dialogue with Mormon family members, friends, and co-workers. Those in attendance will receive a complimentary set of notes. Now remember, the event is free, though a love offering will be taken to further the efforts of Mormonism Research Ministry. We will also have a book table available for your convenience. The presentation goes from 9 a.m. to 1 p.m. on Saturday, November 9th at Provo Baptist Church, located at 700 West and 100 North. Again, that's 700 West and 100 North. Provo Baptist Church in Provo. We hope to see you there.